Let's turn together to read from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 6. God's help, I desire to read the entire chapter.
Bratia naša, da se čita iz poslanice apostola Pavla Efescima, 6. glava. Efescima, 6. glava.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. May God bless the reading of his word. May we all bow before the Lord in prayer. There's a lot that was shared in the prayer. It makes us pause and think about what God is speaking to us in this scripture. There is a battle. There's armor that's prepared. And There is a decision that needs to be made. Will we take up that which is offered? Will we listen and fight on the side of God? Or will we do our own thing? That will determine a destiny for our souls and a life for us here below. The chapter begins with Apostle Paul explaining some relationships that we're all familiar with. Children to parents, and servants to masters, and masters towards God. All of us are children of someone. Most of us are servants to someone. And even if we are the boss, we are accountable to God. And this takes place, as it says, for children to honor their parents and for servants to be obedient to their masters. This is the description of respect for authority. The ultimate authority is God Himself. Everyone is responsible unto Him. And He's given His word to explain, guide, to set forth His requirements. And He wants to teach us about respect. First, respect toward Him, and then also respect toward the authorities that He has delegated. Respect is tied in the relationship of children to parents unto blessing. And that's true with every relationship of authority and submission, that respect is attached to blessing. Here it says, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee. A desire that every parent has for their children, that it would be well, that their life would be ordered, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. A command that is attached to blessing. And for servants, they are exhorted to be obedient to their masters according to the flesh. Apostle Paul compares the obedience of a servant to a master. He relates that in a way that the believers should be able to understand in comparing it to their relationship with Christ. He says, be obedient to those masters with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. The way that we are singly devoted to Christ, the way that we approach Him in fear and trembling should help us understand how we are to approach those who are masters according to the flesh. And so to be able to understand what Apostle Paul's speaking of here, that relationship with God and our respect toward Him has to be in place. Otherwise, the analogy doesn't make any sense. And that's true with every relationship towards authority. It will always work when we have a proper relationship with God. And it will always fail when we do not have that respect toward God. He says, not with eye service as men pleasers, not to be noticed by men or people, but as the servants of Christ, How do the servants of Christ honor and obey the Lord? Doing the will of God from the heart. These are two lessons that I believe the scripture repeats for us many times, that respect is tied to blessing, and God is desiring for us to understand what that means from our heart. Not to go through the motions to please someone, but that God would convince us that his ways are true and that we do that willingly. We can think about the topic of respect and quickly move to thoughts of fear and submission and oppression. But that's not God's idea. God is desiring that we willingly from the heart would respect him, would honor him and obey him. Two things. Respect is tied to blessing, and God wants my heart. Jesus is the perfect example for us. As a youth, the scripture says that he was subject to his parents and that he grew in favor with God and men. And the practical application here for children to parents is given by example through Jesus Christ. But also as an adult, he understood his place and where he fit in the plan of God. And he repeatedly told those who followed him, I'm not here to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Isn't that the heart of a believer as we follow Jesus Christ? That we do not do our own will, or we are not called to follow Christ in a selfish manner. We're called to follow and do the will of God first. Jesus said in his priestly prayer, I have finished the work that thou gavest me to do. He followed the commands of his Father. And we as believers, are we finishing the tasks? Or leaving business unfinished and a stack in the inbox of what God has asked us to do? Or can we say with Jesus, I have finished the work that he has given me to do? Certainly we are in a process of learning from him and following. But Jesus wants us to follow his example of doing the commands of God. Jesus also said in the Gospel of John, I always do the things that please my Father. That is God's will for us. That is God's vision, as it were, for us to embrace, for us to hold dear. And it was something that Apostle Paul prayed for the church. In Colossae, he said, For this cause also, since the day we heard of it, of their faith, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. And he continues to elaborate on what that is, what God's will is, and what the man who grows in spiritual understanding comes to realize, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. The way that Jesus was under the authority of his Father put self as nothing and made God and his commands first and foremost in his life. There's a tender love that desired to please in following the commands that is developed in everyone that is seeking the will of God and how God would have us to be. This idea of respect plays strongly into our relationships with one another. We have the relationship between children and parents, relationship between servants and masters. God has placed that for a purpose, that there might be order, and to reflect the order between us and God. How we view respect will make a difference in our relationships with one another, even with peers. How we speak to one another . How much difficulty and headbutting there may be. There's an illustration of ships. They need to communicate with each other when they're on course for hitting one another, to move out of the way. But when a ship comes to the lighthouse, then the ship needs to move. When we come against one who's in authority, or when we come and our will comes up against God, we need to know our place and know when to move and yield. Sometimes when we are interacting with those that are in authority, we may disagree. What does the Bible teach us about disagreeing with authorities? How should we handle that? Because it will come. I think there's a wise example from the Old Testament in Daniel. It speaks to us about this. Daniel was a man who had to be a counselor to three different kings. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, who took him from his home, who valued spiritual things, but also valued himself and put his own worth and pride above God. There was Belshazzar, who, remember, had the feast of wine and drank from the vessels of God's temple. He didn't have a respect for holy things. He was profane. And then there was Darius. He was deceived by counselors. None of these were particularly respectful, but Daniel was able to respect them all. How did he do it? How did he give counsel? How did he disagree with those who were in authority over him? The scripture teaches us that he prayed. He took it to the Lord in prayer. And that is the posture of the battle that is spoken of in Ephesians chapter 6. There are articles of warfare that are described here, but the posture is one of standing and praying and watching. And Daniel was an example of that. He did not go to the king before consulting with God, seeking his will, praying to him. Daniel always approached the king with humility. His time of prayer had an effect on how he behaved, how he interacted with these kings. It removed from him a spirit of independence and self-will. He only wanted to do the will of God. And that is important. Because when we interact with authorities in our life, we have to remember we're not the ultimate authority. And that goes back to our relationship with God. That we understand that before God, we have much to learn. And so before speaking hastily, before speaking aggressively, he made his petitions known before God and called upon him to fight these battles for him. When Daniel was told that he would have to prepare to meet the king and eat certain foods that were not permissible for him to do, his approach is noteworthy. He does not tell the chamberlain that was put over him, "Well, I'm not going to eat it, and if you don't like it, that's your problem. Too bad." No. He sought a third alternative when dealing with human authorities who were limited in their understanding. And he told them, "I can't do what you're asking me to do. I disagree with you, my authority. But it's your intention for me to go before the king. And you need somebody who is alert, who is well-fed, who is physically capable and able to stand before the king. Well, give us a few days. Give us some time. Let us take this path that God wants us to take and prove us. And you decide whether we should continue in this or not." He gave the opportunity for them to see, is God's way also going to fulfill the goals of the king? He took the time. He wasn't in your face, as it were. He allowed the wisdom of God to stand on its own and to prove itself. And that's so much better than us standing on our own wisdom and proving it to them. And it was powerful. And the chamberlain couldn't deny it. And God was glorified. Daniel also, in the way that he spoke with the kings, he was always polite. After Darius came back to see what had happened with the den of lions, the first thing that Daniel said was, "O king, live forever." What would be the first thing that comes out of our mouth when we feel we were wronged? The Bible teaches us when we disagree with authorities, how we may be able to overcome through the greatest tool of love and a proper relationship with God sets everything in order. Without that, we're just floundering about on our own, trying to figure out, seeking our own path. I believe the Proverbs says something about that relating to the instruction that we receive. He says, "Hear ye, children the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. Forsake ye not my law. I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also, and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. You know, today when we think of commandments and how they're perceived by the world, and even some, actually, how they've always been perceived by human flesh, just to be honest. It seems like something restrictive that'll hold us back, prevent us from meeting our potential. But God has instituted order. He has instituted his word to be respected. And there's a law to be kept. James describes it a little bit differently than our flesh describes the law of God. He says, Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. The commands of God contribute to our freedom and our liberty. It's interesting to see children that we observed grow up in Sunday school, and now as you watch families come in, they are driving their parents into church. And there's a lot of liberty that comes with the responsibility of driving. You know, you can drive on multi-lane highways, you can drive on country roads, you can go into the city, you can go into the across country, East Coast, West Coast. There's a lot of places you can go if you respect the authority of the laws of driving. If you don't, there's restrictions. In the natural world, when a fish lives in the place where it was designed to be, in the water, it can move, it can live, it can be fruitful. When you see a fish on land jumping, that's not a place of liberty. Similarly, God has given each of us path to follow, though straight and narrow, path of Jesus Christ, who when we follow, we find peace and liberty for our souls, joy and contentment in knowing him. The greatest and highest purpose of our life is given. Ask Daniel. He was respectful toward the leaders of his day, that you might say they didn't earn that respect. He might have been a better king than them. But he was the one who has said he's greatly beloved of God. What do you want? Do you want to tell people how it is? What to do? How to be? Do you want to be one who is called greatly beloved of God? David also was respectful towards Saul when he did not deserve it. On the other hand, there were those that sought liberty and freedom, like the prodigal son. He wanted to be free from his father, and he ended up in a hog pen. See the example of Samson. He didn't want to listen to his parents' advice on who to marry, and he ended up bound and blind and grinding in the mill at the Philistine prison. Consider the scripture that Peter speaks, speaking of those who would entice to sin While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. The Lord desires for us, from our hearts, to respect his word and keep his commands. And he promises that that's tied with blessing. Blessing with our relationship with him and our relationship with others while we're here below. Let's apply our hearts to wisdom, hear the word, and follow the Lord's leading in this regard. Amen.
You know, it's our sincere prayer and desire for you, our dear children. And when I say children, you're children to us, but you're already young ladies and young men, that you would understand what Apostle Paul has written here. There are hundreds of thousands of babies being born every day, being raised to mothers who are addicted to drugs and alcohol and all kinds of vice, who are never taught about Jesus, who are raised addicted, who grow up as angry young men and women. They reject all authority. Mothers who love their children yet love their drugs more. We see how many children being passed around from foster home to foster home. We've seen some come through the church here. Who are not being instructed with words of hope, light, where there's just absolute the darkness, the darkest of darkness around them. You have no idea how privileged you are. And that is our desire, dear ones, that you would realize how privileged you are to grow up in a home where mom and dad love you with a love that sacrifices and gives of themselves and teaches you the hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know. If you defy your mom and dad who love you, who teach you, who show you, as the brother even prayed, it is our endeavor to raise our children through a living example of what it means to be obedient to Christ and to live under the law of God. So you would understand that there is no hope in this world. But if you defy them, you know, in the Old Testament times, those who didn't listen to their parents were accused and stoned. That's what it means to God. That's high treason against God. When you dismiss your mom and dismiss your dad as they don't know anything. And here, once you establish that the authority of your mom and dad means nothing to you, that will follow you in life. School authority will mean nothing. Government authority means nothing. You become restless. You're raging. And we see that everywhere we look. How fortunate you are to be raised where God is loved. God is talked about. And do we, dear ones, thank God for a godly mom and a godly dad? Or do we consider ourselves of the unfortunate ones where I have all these rules that I have to follow? Rules that are sparing you from a life of chaos and darkness. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Just look around you. Look around you in the schools. Look around you in the world, the news, the protests, everything that is going on. It's all ugly. You're shielded from all of that as you're being instructed the love of God. And for us, brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us here, put on the whole armor of God. I actually marked my Bible here. One last thought on that, dear ones, is Jesus Christ, who it says he was God manifest in the flesh, which means he was the creator of the universe. We see a brief picture of him at 12 years old. We see a brief picture of him that says that he went down and with his parents and came to Nazareth, and it says, and was subject unto them. This is what it means to obey your parents. Jesus Christ showed us that that way. And so, dear ones, as we look at putting on the whole armor of God, it says, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Stand. Ladies, and later he says, put on that you may be withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. You've heard the saying, stand your ground. Brothers and sisters, have we given up any ground this past few days? Have we given up any ground? Or are we standing in the battle? Paul is chained to a Roman soldier as he's writing this. As he's writing, the chains are rattling. He's reminded. He's reminded of the armor that he sees all around. He sees he's very familiar with a Roman soldier and what he looks like with his helmet, his breastplate, his shield, his boots, his everything that is designed to protect him from everything in battle. Paul says, I'm not telling you anything about your physical self. I'm telling you how to fight the spiritual battle against the enemy of your souls. You have to deliberately put on every piece of armor, or you're going to give up ground. You won't stand. Hold your ground. How? Put on the whole armor of God. Everything. Dear ones, he says, above all, above everything, take the shield of faith. The Roman soldiers would lock their shields side by side. It created a wall that was very difficult to penetrate. Dear ones, the enemy of our souls has every fiery dart in man. He's studied mankind since we were created. He's the greatest psychologist that exists. He knows everything about us. And he has the fiery dart that is for us. Some of us he will cast arrows that will inflame our lusts of the flesh. Immorality and those things. Some he will arrows of materialism, arrows of every kind imaginable. He knows what you need. Or he knows what he needs to penetrate you. Why? Because you let down. You're going to give up ground. But dear ones, there's hope. That's what we love about Jesus. He never leaves us without any hope. He gives us a word like this so that we would read it. And we look and say, yeah, I gave up some ground, Lord. Now what? What happens now? Well, Jesus says, come back to me. Don't put the armor down. Lift it up. Put it on. Come back to me. Love me. And he says here, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. What is that might? His might, not your might, not my might. Be strong in the power of his might. His might, which it says, and the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. Remember we talked about the shield of faith? The power comes to those who have faith. to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is the power that he gives to us who believe. There's no arrow that can touch us. There's no ground that we can give up, dear ones. So it is our prayer that each of us would put on the armor so that we also could teach our children. And you, children, obey your parents. Love the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. He is our all. If he is not all, he is nothing. May we embrace the truths, the instructions that God gives us, and serve him faithfully so that we could stand against the wiles of the devil and in the power of his might. Amen.